This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Why is now not the time to concede?
Well, he hasn't done anything, so he hasn't looked. When he looks, he'll see the kind of evidence that right now you're seeing in the Georgia Senate. You know, they're going through hearings right now in Georgia, and they're finding tremendous volumes. So they haven't looked very hard, which is a disappointment, to be honest with you, because it's massive fraud.
We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight in the fields. We shall never surrender.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
And I think my inclination, Jake, is on the first day I'm inaugurated to say I'm going to ask the public for 100 days to mask. Just 100 days to mask. Not forever, 100 days.
Too long!
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
When you have, you know, in your own state, the governor eating at a fancy restaurant, the mayor of San Francisco the next night at French Laundry, when you have the Austin mayor, his name is Steve Adler, telling people to stay home, then it turns out the video was made in Cabo. Even the good politicians are messing up. And I don't know what to do at this point if even the good guys are messing up.
Does that feel hypocritical to you?
Yeah, duh.
Unchained and unstoppable.
This is about restoring faith and confidence in American elections. This is about our democracy.
It's not just him that they're going after, and they forget this. It's the American people. And when the American people feel like they're under attack, they then begin to look at things differently, and they wake up, and they are not going to stand for this basically massive amount of fraud.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
781 says, I still can't get the image out of my head of a naked Joe Biden chasing his German Shepherd around the room, the bathroom, trying to pull its tail. Did he do this for the benefit of the female Secret Service agents? Yeah, you know, there have been complaints from the female Secret Service agents. They'd like to swim naked in the, I think it was the Naval Observatory. That's where the vice president lives in D.C. It's going to be a long 4 years or less. Yeah, I know. A lot of people are talking about that on the internet. That's just such a weird story. How did they come up with this story to portray? If this is the best story they could come up with, what's the real story? Or do you believe this story? Anyway, we have a press release from the Trump campaign. Trump campaign files election contest in Georgia. That's a weird way to put it, contest. I think that means a complaint or a lawsuit. The Trump campaign filed an election contest in Georgia state court today seeking to invalidate the state's November 3rd presidential election. And they provided in the complaint data, sworn testimony, identifying thousands of illegal votes. I'm going to go through this. 2,560 felons voted, 66,247 underage voters, 2,423 votes from people not registered, 1,043 individuals registered at post office boxes, which is, I guess, is against the law, 4,926 individuals who voted in Georgia after registering in another state, 395 individuals who voted in two states, 15,700 votes from people who had moved out of state before the election, 40,279 votes of people who moved without re-registering in their new county, and another 30,000 to 40,000 absentee ballots lacking proper signature matching and verification. And the lead counsel for the Trump campaign is a guy named Ray Smith III. He said the Secretary of State has orchestrated the worst excuse for an election in Georgia history. We are asking, here's the key, we are asking the court to vacate the certification of the presidential election and to order a new statewide election for president. Well, that's not going to happen, obviously. There's not going to be a new statewide election. Alternately, this is what they really want. We are asking the court to enjoin the certification and allow the Georgia legislature to reclaim its duty under the U.S. Constitution to appoint the presidential electors for the state. So I would assume they won't get that either, but that'll give them something. That'll give them a hook to get it into federal court or try to get it into federal court. And we'll see what they can do. 844-500-4242. Just wanted to read you this quick story here. We're talking about, you know, we always have Florida man stories. Here's a Florida snake story. This was in the paper last week down here in Florida. You know, Florida has a big problem with pythons. They're an invasive species of snake that has been taken over the Everglades. People bought these snakes for Christmas gifts or something, and then they got too big, so they just threw them out into the yard because what could possibly go wrong? So now they're killing all the native species. Florida is considering a new strategy to cull its Burmese python population. Can you guess what the strategy is, Taylor?
Poisoning food?
No. Eating the pythons. They want people to eat the pythons.
Well, they make jerky out of snake meat, like python meat.
I had some alligator meat once when I was in the place near Disney World in Orlando.
Tastes like a fishy chicken, right?
Yeah, exactly. But they got this story about all these nice dishes you can make out of pythons, but it also says pythons carry alarming amounts of mercury, a neurotoxin that can impair brain functioning and damage the reproductive system. Other than that, it's really a great product. It's delicious. Python can be tasty if prepared correctly, and you can get around that mercury poisoning. Donna Khalil is a python hunter, and she said that while very chewy, she says the white meat of the python can be used in recipes that normally call for, you guessed it, chicken or pork. Python, the new white meat, the other white meat. To make python meat more tender, she uses a pressure cooker to cook it for 10 to 20 minutes before putting it in a recipe, such as stir fry, chili, or spaghetti sauce. Mm-mm, good. She also eats python eggs, which she said are good, with good hard-boiled. Okay, we'll get right on that. I wanted to read this story briefly. You know, we're talking about Joe Biden and the crazy stuff he's been saying, and there was an interesting story from Spectator USA, a woman named Katya Sedgwick. And I guess she's a Russian immigrant, and she was growing up in the last years of Leonid Brezhnev. And she's comparing the last days of Leonid Brezhnev to Joe Biden. Brezhnev's mind and body took a toll. His first minor stroke happened in 1951 when he was still in his 40s, just like Biden had aneurysms in the 1980s when I believe he was still in his 40s. Despite that, Brezhnev was able to feign decent health up to December 1975 when he suffered another cardiac arrest. He became dependent on drugs and continued using them through the end of his life. His speech became slurred and his movements unsteady. His mispronunciations were notorious. Socialist countries came out of his mouth as, I can't even say it, bleepy sausages, and systematically as booby boobs. Toward the end of his life, he required the help of an apparatchik to lift his arm to salute the troops at a parade.
That would be ridiculous.
Well, you know, he's not the only one that has problems pronouncing things. What about Pelosi with this Build Back Better, Cut 13?
Joe Biden committed to ending and crushing the virus and having a Build Better America initiative, Bagel Back Better.
The Bagel Back Better initiative. Let's hear that one more time.
Having a Build Better America initiative, Bagel Back Better.
Bagel Back Better.
Bagel Back Better.
Bagel Back Better. All right. It shouldn't be surprising, says Katya Sedgwick, that according to a Zogby poll, 55% of likely voters believe Biden is in the early stages of dementia. What's surprising is that the November 3rd election revealed how 80 million Americans apparently hate Trump so much that they think Biden's anonymous handlers will do a better job of running the country, and so they voted for the Democrat nominee. I don't believe 80 million voted for him, and neither do you, or neither does Donald Trump. At least nobody in the Soviet Union voted for Brezhnev. The elections were a sham with Communist Party candidates running unopposed. Everything was a sham, actually. That period of Soviet history is known as zastoy, or stagnation. If Biden gets to be president, I think we're going to have a period of American zastoy, stagnation, zastoy. 844-500-4242. Can I get me a python hard-boiled egg here? Yeah, yeah. All right. 844-500-4242. Folks, meet your new work chair. It's the Backstrong chair, and I've been using it for the last few weeks, and I feel great. You know that soreness and stiffness you get when you sit too long while working? It's gone for me. My body feels good when I'm sitting in my Backstrong office chair, and this is important. When I get out of the chair to walk around, I feel refreshed. Poorly designed office chairs can lead to severe pains in your back, neck, and shoulder muscles, but not the Backstrong chair. It guarantees you good posture. You literally cannot slouch. You got to check it out. All while stimulating circulation and improving flexibility. The patented Backstrong chair was designed by a nationally recognized chiropractor to help you overcome discomfort from sitting too long. The chair keeps you moving throughout the day, which is what your back, body, and brain need to be healthy and pain-free. When you sit better, you feel better. Probably you're spending more time at home now because you still can't get back to work totally in your office or wherever your workplace is. So you need a good chair that you can sit in for hours at a time, not just in your office at work, but in your home. You need a Backstrong chair. It's the best ergonomic chair for reducing back and neck pain. And it's super comfortable, perfect for your home or your office or both, backed by hundreds of five-star reviews and a 60-day money-back guarantee. To get yours, go to backstrong.com today to save $100 and get free shipping. Use discount code Howie. Remember, save $100 and get free shipping on your Backstrong chair at backstrong.com. Use discount code Howie. That's backstrong.com, discount code Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
They call him the Trash Man, but we'll call him Captain Howie Carr. Say what you will about him.
He's a common, ignorant slob. He don't even speak good English.
He doesn't even speak good English.
He's Howie Carr, and he's here to stay.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn on Cape Cod. Open this winter for the first time in 63 years. Book an ocean view room for only $100 while rooms are still available. The views are amazing. Book your ocean view room today at NausetBeachInn.com, N-A-U-S-E-T, NausetBeachInn.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which Republican has most irritated you since November 3rd? Mitt Romney, Charlie Baker, Phil Scott, Bill Barr, or Brian Kemp?
Mitt Romney, just because it's so obvious that he's just eat out with envy that Trump became president, and neither he nor his father could ever make it.
Looks like he's taking the cake home today. 37% say Mitt Romney, followed by Bill Barr's 29%, Charlie Baker's 25%, Brian Kemp's 8%, and Phil Scott's 2%.
Phil Scott saying, what did I do wrong? I was, you know, cross-examining those first graders when they came back from the Thanksgiving week holiday, and I only get 2% of the vote. All right, 844-500-4242. Let's take some calls here. We're going to have an author in at the bottom of the hour. Anthony Amore, he's got a new book out. We'll be talking to him, but let's take a few phone calls. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Howie.
Hi.
I was just thinking how incredibly devious it is that our political opponents have given themselves flattering names like liberal and progressive. These words suggest that they're the correct ones, the moral ones, the superior ones, while characterizing their opponents, conservatives and the like, as wrong, immoral, and narrow-minded. That's one of the reasons why conservatives have been losing for over 60 years. We just can't win in that paradigm.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just made me think of something, Mark. They always say histories are written by the winners. You know what? So are dictionaries, too. You know? And they've been winning. And they always say, you know, I'm a right-wing talk show host, but Rachel Maddow is not a left-wing talk show host. They're just talk show hosts. You're right. It's they control the language.
No, they classify her as the news.
You're right, the news. Yeah, Rush Limbaugh was talking about that today. There is no more news. You know, it's just you just get their slant on it. And you see it in the newscasts on all of our affiliates, or most of our affiliates. I mean, these national newscasts are just more left-wing agitprop. They might as well be NPR. Bruce from the Met says, H, are you doing your birthday party up here again this year? What? No. How am I going to do it, Bruce? No, I'm not, unfortunately. If you want to see Grace, though, you can go down to Plymouth and enter the contest at the 110 Grill. She's going to be having dinner on next Friday night with some lucky winners at the 110 Grill. And when you enter the contest at the 110 Grill in Plymouth, you can get a free copy of my book, What Really Happened. Arthur, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Arthur.
Thanks, Howie. That this might be the most important thing that you can say to the president since you can get his ear.
When I wish I could.
Rally this, well, I wish somebody could get his ear because he doesn't turn around and say that the guy that knew this was going to happen before it happened, as well as the rest of us, but the number one guy, he's got to play that tape of him saying that we have the best voter fraud that's ever been done in the history on the screen in front of that rally, and he has to keep doing it. And he can never hand over the keys to the White House to this guy.
Well, I mean, if he loses, if he loses in the Electoral College, he's going to have to. But I, you know what? That's a really good idea, Arthur. You know, I was sorry last week when Rudy had the press conference and he said it was a Freudian slip to say that. I mean, why say it, even if you think it's a Freudian slip? Let him answer for it. What did he mean by that? The most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization ever. If we got the cut, we'll play it right now. We'll get it. We'll get it right. We'll get it. Thanks for the call, Arthur. That's a good suggestion, though. He should do that tomorrow night in Valdosta. Rocky, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rocky.
Howie, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, Arthur was just talking about something I was going to say. There's a couple things. Why would they give that knucklehead Biden, all those losers on the left, anything to do with what's going on in the White House as far as nuclear codes? They haven't won a damn thing. And one other thing, I'm going to try to lighten things up because everything's so negative. I'm not giving up. What has Ed Markey done for all the money that he's been given over the years in paychecks? What?
To ask the question is to answer it, Rocky. You know that very well. Now he wants a national mask mandate. He wants a law mandating you to wear a bleeping mask. And again, I thought we had HIPAA regulations, and you know, if you had a medical condition, you didn't have to tell anybody what the medical condition was. You had privacy. And you could just say, I have a medical condition and I can't wear a mask. But apparently the COVID is so significant and it's so terrible. There were zero deaths again in the last two-week period under the age of 20 in Massachusetts. There was one COVID death under the age of 30 in Massachusetts over the last two-week period. One death under the age of 30. All right, 844-500-4242.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
I'm just going to read you a headline. Biden takes early lead in baseball Hall of Fame balloting. It doesn't open for like 6 months, but Biden has jumped off to an early lead. He has 15 million votes so far. That's a joke website. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Joining us now on the news line is Anthony Amore. He is the security director at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, and he's been working to get the stolen paintings back for a while. And he's also been involved in politics. He ran for Secretary of State 2 years ago, and this year he was the spokesman, the lead spokesman for the campaign against Proposition 2, Question 2, which would have brought ranked choice voting to Massachusetts, would have been a total disaster. And despite being outspent, I think, 30,000 to 1, they prevailed. It was a great victory, probably the greatest victory ever in Massachusetts history of referenda questions. He's got a new book out. He's written several books, but he's got a new book out. It's called The Woman Who Stole Vermeer, the true story of Rose Dugdale and the Rustboro House art heist. It's a very interesting book. And but before Anthony, thanks for being with us. But before we begin, I have to ask you, are there any new developments in the search for the missing paintings at the museum?
Hi, Howie. None that I can talk about on the air. We have some things that we're working on, as we always are. But you know, as you said, I've been working on this for a while now, and it's only been 15 years, Howie. So give me some time.
If people, and again, I always like to offer people this opportunity. Where if people have information, and I can't believe they haven't come forward already to get all these millions of dollars. But if they have new information, where should they go to try to get a hunk of this big reward?
Well, the best thing to do is email me, and the email address is very easy. It's theft@gardnermuseum.org. And anything you pass on to me will be confidential.
All right. So you've written several books about art thefts. This is a very interesting one, and it also involves a Vermeer. And Vermeer is that's one of the missing paintings at the Gardner Museum. And tell people about Vermeer. And I think it's the most valuable painting that's missing from the Gardner Museum, isn't it?
Yes, exactly, and I know that's your favorite of the ones that's
it is.
Missing. The
absolutely.
Vermeer is just great. I know VB and I go back and forth about Vermeer, but there's only 36 known Vermeers. Every single one of his works is absolutely breathtaking and special. You can liken his art to that of Leonardo in the sense that they have about the same number of paintings. They're incredibly rare. Every one of them is great. And every collector wants one. So when you talk about the value of a Vermeer painting, you're talking easily in the hundreds of millions of dollars. There's no bargains when it comes to Vermeer because they're so expensive and rare.
And some people have speculated that he figured out a way, sort of an early photograph system, and he just traced what the reproduction that he was getting off of the whatever invention he had made, right?
Well, there was a thing that some people used back in his time called the camera obscura, but there's real evidence from actual experts to show that he did not use that. And even if he had, the difference between using something that projects an image onto a canvas and actually executing the painting and framing it and such is a world of difference. But I think people make a mistake when they think Vermeer is attached to this camera obscura that makes his painting sort of bogus. They're not. These are absolute masterpieces.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I just I look at them and I just stare at them. I can't. And I'm not, you know, someone who is really a lover of fine art. I mean, I appreciate it, I think, but I don't obsess over it. But these paintings are amazing. But anyway, tell us about this woman who stole a Vermeer. Her name is. You've got a new book out about it, and I guess the book is sold out right now, right? Or is it available again?
Well, it's perfect timing because you're right. It sold out immediately on Amazon the first day, which was a pretty interesting thing. I was really flattered by it. And now it's on Amazon again, but they have a $5 coupon because of the problem with the sellout. So the cover price is $27, but you can get it for $15.99 tonight. The book is just this remarkable story of a woman who I guess you would call the one percenter now. She grew up in extreme wealth in England and ultimately forsake all of her possessions and her inheritance to become a revolutionary fighting on behalf of the IRA. So she gave up her British roots and went over to Ireland in an attempt to help the IRA. She really wanted
the
to be
people
part
her
of it.
Ancestors had been oppressing for a few hundred years.
Precisely. And she was well aware of this, as the Irish people were too. The people in Northern Ireland didn't all take to her well, but she ultimately hooked up with this rogue IRA fighter named Eddie Gallagher. And together, first they hijacked a helicopter and attempted to drop bombs on a police station. And when that wasn't...
Those were the days.
Right. Well, she and Eddie and some others went to a place called the Rustboro House in County Wicklow, and they pulled off the biggest art heist of its time. It was like the Gardner theft of its time, and 19 paintings, including three Rubens, Van de Velde, Goya, and, of course, the Vermeer, which is the, you know, the crown jewel of paintings.
And so how did they pull this off? I mean, first they robbed her parents' house, right?
Exactly right. So she's the only woman ever to do this. There's only one woman who's ever pulled off a major art heist. She pulled off two, probably three. And I make the case in this book that she also robbed a Vermeer from the Kenwood House in London. But to steal the painting,
did that get back? Is that back, that Vermeer?
Yes, they're all back.
Okay.
And I lay out how they got them back. But when she to break into the Rustboro House, it's not unlike the Gardner, I guess you can say. She used a ruse. She went to the back door and at the servant's entrance, and she knocked on the door and pretended to be a French damsel in distress. And when the servants opened the door, her cohorts with machine guns barged their way in, and she directed them around the house, the biggest, longest house in Ireland, and picked out the 19 most valuable paintings and made off with them, all in an attempt to free, or actually move some IRA inmates from London to Northern Ireland. So she committed her life to Irish republicanism in a really unique way.
Even though she was English. And so did they...
English aristocrat.
How long did it take them to catch up with her?
Well, she was better at stealing them than hiding them. So they caught her pretty quickly, and because she assumed that going into the Irish countryside would be a good way to hide out, not realizing that the Irish know when someone from out of town is in their environs. So the police were able to get to her pretty quickly. But that's just the beginning of the story. Then she goes to prison, and all kinds of things happen while she's in prison. She gives birth to her son, the first woman ever to have a child in an Irish prison. It's
who was the father?
This guy
Gallagher?
Yes, Mad Eddie Gallagher, an IRA, a rogue IRA guy. Too much of a firebrand for even the IRA.
Well, they apparently, the IRA, I was just reading about the story in the New York Post. The IRA asked them to give back the Vermeers, right?
That's the irony. So she was, Rose Dugdale was acting without sanction from the IRA. So when she stole these paintings, thinking she was going to help these inmates, the inmates turned around and said, "We don't want to be freed from these jails based on someone else's back. We want to be moved to Northern Ireland on principle. We're prisoners of war." And this is the time of the great hunger strikes and such. So this was
Bobby Sands. Yeah.
Bobby Sands. But these are the Price sisters, the first women soldiers in the IRA, and their story alone is just really remarkable, and I tell it here in this book.
And so you think that she also pulled off another Vermeer theft in the UK, right?
I do. About 5 or 6 weeks before this big one that she pulled off, a Vermeer was stolen in England from the Kenwood House, a painting called The Guitar Player. And no one ever was arrested for that crime. the Scotland Yard recovered the painting a couple of days after Rose was arrested for the theft at the Rusborough House. Really big coincidence. The demands for this painting from England were the same that Rose had made. And I just lay out the facts in my book to prove, via circumstantial evidence, but overwhelming circumstantial evidence, that she probably stole not one, but two Vermeers, which is just a staggering feat.
Wow. So what is she doing now? Is she still alive?
She's still alive, and she lives in Dublin. And really interesting that the Irish people have accepted her now. And you see her every now and then at a parade in a wheelchair with Gerry Adams or other members of Sinn Féin. And she's a legend to the Irish people now. You know, they used to look at her skeptically, but she lives a modest life in Dublin with the Irish people. And it wasn't just for fun. She really believed in their cause, so they've taken a shine to her.
Initially, they thought she was slumming.
It's true. A lot of people thought, you know, why are you sticking your nose into our business? The mayor of Limerick gave an interview where he said essentially that. It's like, why is this rich Oxford? She's an Oxford-educated PhD. Why is she, you know, coming over here trying to play IRA soldier? But she was a true believer.
Did you try to talk to her, or did you get any statements from this woman, Rose Dugdale?
I tried, and I had a trusted intermediary of hers, and I thought it was going to happen, but at the last minute, she said she couldn't talk, and the reason has to do with the fact, and it's interesting for Boston audiences, because you might remember the BC project where they had those interviews with IRA people,
right,
that were ultimately revealed. And because of that, people who were associated with Sinn Féin and the IRA are loath to talk to reporters now for fear of getting people in trouble.
Really? So what happened to her child? Where is he or she?
He lives in Germany, and he goes back and forth to see his mother. Eddie Gallagher has a horse farm out in Ireland, and Rose's first...
Oh, typical revolutionary, right? Now he's a member of the bourgeoisie.
Well, her first, Rose's first boyfriend that she started doing these crimes with, still alive. He's 94 years old, and he spoke to me for the book, and he's very much with it, and he still considers himself a revolutionary in his 90s.
Wow. So this is a pretty interesting book. It sounds like. And what's the title of it again, if people want to get it?
It's The Woman Who Stole Vermeer, and it's on sale tonight on Amazon.com with a $5 coupon. So it's right there on the page. You just click on it, and you get the book for almost $10 off.
That's good. And I know what it's like when they run out of books. It happened with me with Brothers Bulger. And the good thing for you is, Anthony, though, there's nobody else writing the same subject book, I don't think, is there? So you're not going to lose sales that way. You know, it's
no,
tough. To,
no, it's true.
But that's good. So
I'll tell you, though, Howie, trying to deal with Amazon is like they're bigger than the government, because it's impossible. So it's a behemoth. But people can get it now. Thank God it's finally back.
All right. So can they get delivered by Christmas, Anthony, or not?
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, Howie. So if you go on, it says delivery between the 21st and the 28th, but it absolutely delivers before Christmas. I just ordered one, and it's coming December 13th.
All right. So give us the title one more time. I'll give it. The Woman Who Stole Vermeer, The True Story of Rose Dugdale and the Rusborough House Art Heist. So if you know somebody who likes art or is interested in the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, this is a kind of the same type of story. Or if you know people who are into Irish politics or Irish history, it's probably a good pick, too, for a Christmas gift. Anthony Amore, thank you. Thanks for being with us. And again, thanks for spearheading the movement to stop ranked choice voting in Massachusetts. Everybody in the state, whether they know it or not, owes you and everybody else who was involved in that campaign a vote of thanks.
Thank you for your help, and how you were essential.
Thanks. Okay, that's Anthony Amore. And again, the title of the book is The Woman Who Stole Vermeer. You can order it tonight on Amazon, and it'll get to you by Christmas. Let HelloFresh spice up mealtime at home. Right now, you can take advantage of limited-time Black Friday savings and see why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh gives you simple recipes and fresh ingredients, sourced directly from growers and delivered to your home contact-free. With more than 22 weekly recipes, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including family-friendly, vegetarian, and low-calorie choices. I told you I've made firecracker meatballs. It's really something. I never thought of putting soy sauce in meatballs, but it really worked out great. Taylor, what have you been doing with HelloFresh lately?
I had their Korean dish. Haven't really branched out from that, but this is the time of year to start doing this because you don't want to think too much about having to prepare something. The thought is taken out of it for you. The hardest choice you have to make here is, what do you like?
Yeah, and especially now there's the added hassle of inclement weather, snow, sleet, rain. HelloFresh is delivered right to your door. Say goodbye to never-ending meal planning and prepping and going to the grocery store. HelloFresh recipes are easy to follow with simple steps and pictures. You can get meals on the table in as little as 20 minutes. Plus, by skipping the store, you can save up to 40% on groceries. Cut food waste by 25%. Save time so you have more time to celebrate the holidays with loved ones. Go to HelloFresh.com and use code Howie90 for $90 off, including free shipping, during HelloFresh's Black Friday sale. For a limited time only, go to HelloFresh.com and use code Howie90 for $90 off. HelloFresh.com. I'm Howie Carr.
When Howie's on, every radio is a magic radio.
You regret it to his dying day, if ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. Someone says, what's the coupon code? It's just it's the bottom there. You just click on it, I just did it myself, and the check mark comes up, and it's a $5 extra savings coupon applied at checkout. So there it is. And again, check out Vermeer if you're snowed in or you don't want to go outside in this crappy weekend weather. Just check out Vermeer and just look at some of those pictures. Even on the internet, you can see how amazing those paintings are. I mean, he's got these shadows that it's hard to imagine. He's no Picasso, I'll tell you that. I guess some people like Picasso. It's just, always seem not that hot to me. Anyway, 844-500-4242. We don't have much time left. I want to let you know, here's a story from Newsweek. Adolf Hitler wins election in Namibia, has no plans for world domination. I don't know if you saw this one earlier. There's a politician named Adolf Hitler has won a regional election in Namibia. He got 85% of the vote. I don't think Hitler ever did. Hitler didn't do that well when he was running against von Hindenburg, did he? Wasn't it von Hindenburg he was running against? He told the German newspaper Bild, "My father named me after this man. He probably didn't understand what Adolf Hitler stood for." On the other hand, maybe he did know what Adolf Hitler stood for. How do you know? As a child, I saw it as a totally normal name, Adolf. Adolf Hitler. There are not too many people in the U.S. or anywhere in the Western world named Adolf anymore, if you haven't noticed. Well, there was a guy, there used to be a basketball player named Dolph Schayes, and he's Adolf Schayes. And then there was Adolf Rupp. He was the basketball coach at Kentucky. But I don't think anybody born since, like, for the last 80, 85 years has been named Adolf, except for this guy. "Only as a teenager," said Adolf Hitler, "did I understand that this man wanted to conquer the entire world." His last name, by the way, is Unona. So his name is Adolf Hitler Unona. Have a good weekend, everybody. I'm Howie Carr.